What's up, Fight Fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, and this week's episode, Thorns and Roses. We'll talk about this past Saturday's UFC main event, Tai Tuivasa taking on Marcin Tybura and everything in between. We'll talk about the latest in MMA news. The UFC 301 card in Rio has some very interesting additions that we're going to get into, including the return of a legend. Bellator has a new home, and it is a huge one in 2024. And we'll talk about everything else around town. Chris Curtis stepping in for Marvin Vettori against Brendan Allen very soon. And the inspiring story of the hammer himself, Mark Coleman. And we'll cap it off by talking about this Saturday's UFC Vegas 8-9 main event. Rose Namajunas taking on Amanda Ribas. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Hello, Double G. Happy spring. I think today's the first day of spring, maybe.
Is it?
I don't know.
I'm not going to lie, because it feels like it.
Maybe it's tomorrow. Let's see. First day of spring. Googling it right now. That's today. No, wait. Is today Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
It's today. March 19th.
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to, look, it feels like it. I say this because very bluntly, the last week we still had a cold spell. It was rainy.
It literally rained
cold,
yesterday.
And I was like, this is not, you know, we're still in winter. And
I know.
You get out there today and all the birds are chirping.
Like, they are. I saw a bird with a bunch of fluff in its mouth and its beak. She was building
a nest.
Yeah. She was just sitting on a wire with fluff. I was like, what's wrong with her? And then I realized she flew to her corner. Start building her nest.
There are times when I wonder, no, really, where were you guys yesterday? Did y'all just really all wake up at the,
where did they hang out, right? Yeah.
Life's mysteries. But before we lose any subscribers, let's get into the MMA of it all. Look, UFC Vegas 88 from the Apex, the heavyweights, Tai Tuivasa taking on Marcin Tybura, two vets of the octagon. I believe it was Dominic Cruz who said it. This was about as much fun as you could ask for as long as it lasted.
Yeah.
Ty getting after it, marching, standing his ground. And then when it got to the mat, really, you know what? I know Marcin can grapple. I know that, you know, Ty isn't exactly known for his ground game. And yet, I didn't think the disparity would be as drastic as it was.
Yeah.
And full credit to Marcin. I thought he fought a great fight. He wasn't afraid to, you know, get in Ty's face to get to the mat. And then from there, he just really just kind of kept holding the foot on the neck until he got the submission right. Tai Tuivasa goes out. The ref has to, you know, fought it for as long as he could. Great win for Marcin. I believe this is the third or fourth in a row, unfortunately, for Tuivasa under the skid. You know what? I'll leave it at that. Thoughts on the fight before we move on to what's next?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun for as long as it lasted is the perfect way to sum it up. We got some swinging of punches, or when they're heavyweights, that's always exciting. More exciting because, you know, it could lead to a big knockout. Tybura was bleeding. Tuivasa had the bun. Like, it was a great start. It ended surprisingly fast. Good win for Marcin Tybura, who I feel like kind of has been doing that lately. Just when you think he's going to be the gatekeeper, he comes and says, no, not so fast. So I'm bummed for Ty. It's been a rocky road for him of late. We haven't seen a shoey in a while. And I don't know. I got to say, he didn't look like... He looked in better shape last fight. I don't remember who he fought at this moment.
That was the Gon fight, no?
Yeah, like physically. His physique.
Yep.
This time around, didn't look like it. Not, you know, no way to know if that has anything to do with the outcome, but it felt a little more wild. I know he can fight wild. That's part of why we love him, but it felt like there wasn't necessarily a game plan, or if there was, it got thrown out the window. So, you know. Maybe it wasn't a good camp. I don't know. But it seemed not quite polished. You know, the most polished Ty we've seen, I guess.
Yeah, you know, he's fought two of those losses, Gon, Pavlovich. Guy's right there fighting for the belt. So,
Yeah.
you know, he's not losing to scrubs out there.
Of course, yeah.
And Marcin, we talked about it because you remember he had his main event against Tom Aspinall in London. This is a guy who's fought a ton of high-level guys. He's won some, he's lost some, but he has a very decent record. And just look, he's just a tough heavyweight. You know, there's guys who do a lot worse in UFC than Marcin Tybura. He's no
Yeah.
slouch. I get it. I love Ty. You love Ty, don't we all? You know, party animal. Who doesn't?
Right.
But yeah. So I think it was just maybe, you know, competition has to be acknowledged. Maybe there is a bit of that mindset, a bit, you know, is that doubt creeping in? Is it some of these other things creeping in? As he's gotten older, the competition has a ton of tape to watch and figure him out. You know, once again, you don't want to bang with Ty.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't know that I've seen this great stride. Mind you, he doesn't have to. I mean, when you can hit like that, I wouldn't want to wrestle either. But, you know, we haven't exactly seen this drastic evolution, so maybe it's a bit of the competition figuring him out as the years have gone on. It could be a lot of those little things, but he's still on the good side in terms of age. He has been doing this for a while, I'll acknowledge that, and especially in UFC, but yeah, I think that this is just full credit. Marcin Tybura found adversity and he overcame it. I think he should be very proud of the work he put in out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Great win.
And let's talk about that. Marcin, straight up, Jairzinho Rozenstruik. They've been scheduled twice, I believe. Once I forget why they were scheduled, and then I know Tybura had to pull out of the fight. Obviously, Jairzinho just beat Gaziev a few weeks ago. Timetable works. They haven't fought each other. I think it makes sense on the rankings wise. I think they're all between about 7 and 10 in the rankings. I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer on matchmaking, in my opinion. What about you?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it sometimes they just come together in the cage and you don't really need to do much thinking. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it kind of reminds me of the whole thing with Imavov and Hermanson and Pfeiffer and everything kind of falling into the same. Like,
Yeah.
it's like they're just back to back to back. So it's
Yeah, all
like.
right, yeah. Which, you know, they probably there's probably some like, you know, design there. Like they figure if this goes this way, they stack the dominoes right, and if they all fall in the right place, their job is done.
Mean, if only we could get title fights to work that nicely,
Yeah,
huh?
I know. UFC 300. Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine? But yeah, look, that's also stylistically a good fight, especially what we saw from Jairzinho. So I do hope, you know, as a fan, they book Marcin and Jair. I think that'd be fun. Before we talk about the other stuff, Brian Battle and Ange Lusa. Look, Battle looked good to start it off. He was looking to make a statement. I thought he was on his way. And then we have this whole thing of, you know, just the foul and the accident, and it becomes a no contest. But that's not what people remember about this fight. I mean, Brian Battle and Lusa just pretty much almost get into a second fight right there in the cage. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, Brian Battle looked really good, and I can understand why he was so frustrated because he was doing everything right and finding success with almost every attack. And honestly, at first, I thought the incident was a headbutt, and obviously they replayed it, and it's the thumb in the eye. Oh, okay, we've seen plenty of that. We know it's painful, and Mike Beltran, who I believe was the ref, started off seemingly doing the right thing. But as the commentators pointed out, he didn't tell the Lusa, Lassa, Lusa?
I thought it was Lusa.
I don't know. It has two O's, but I can't remember what they were saying. You know, you got 5 minutes. Usually I feel like you hear Herb Dean or others say, okay, you have 5 minutes, take your time. He didn't say that. Now, that doesn't mean that this guy would have, you know, that the outcome would have been any different at the end of 5 minutes, but you know, there is something that comes with veteran experience, you know, that Dom and Bisping were talking about, you know, take your time. Like you do have 5 minutes, you can just kind of, you know, wait it out. And I think maybe not realizing that as soon as you say, I can't see, it's probably going to get called off. And
Yeah, ref
so,
makes a call.
yeah. And so, it could just be like, I can't see right now, but give me time. Like by the end of 5 minutes, maybe I can see. And so I feel like there should be a little bit of communication after a fighter says, I can't see. I would say like, okay, do you want to keep waiting? You have 5 minutes to see if it comes back. That didn't happen. Fight's over. So, okay. Brian Battle gets so mad because all of a sudden this guy, Lusa, Lhasa's got fight in him again, right? So I totally understand that reaction and a no contest. Like, I don't know, all that effort you put into training camp, you don't get the win that you were already on your way to getting. Oh, man, it's very, very, very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole scrap. I gotta say this. This is something I always appreciate because you hear every at one fight or every event, I could fight again right now. They actually tried to fight again right there. I loved it. It's like it's about time someone actually freaking puts up when they say that. I was here for it. They broke it up as they should, but you know, I appreciated the energy. I'm gonna say it like that. It was a weird one. I know the whole the Corey McKenna one with the officiating, the ref, like it looks like he's expecting the tap. It looks like she's almost in the process of tapping out and the ref calls it and there's the whole it was a whole thing. And it's like so I know that that kind of I don't want to say marred because it was still a decent event, but you know, there was a little bit of extracurriculars going on Saturday.
Lots
And it
of
is what it is.
head scratchers,
Yeah. It's so many events, things happen. Look, decent fight night. This week has already kicked off with quite the headlines. We'll get into the announcements for fights at 301, but I wanted to point this out, late edition this Tuesday evening. Bellator finds a new home. Their events this year under the PFL banner, which is still on ESPN Plus, the Bellator events will be airing live on HBO Max.
Big news, right?
I gotta say, Natalie did not see it coming. If last year was the jab, this is the straight cross behind it for the PFL brand. I would argue that, how do I put this? Natalie, Bellator is having its best year after being bought.
Yeah, they are. I mean,
Or acquired, I'll use that word since
yeah,
there was
that's
no money.
more that's better received by the acquired side. It's crazy. Max is a big, I know officially they don't call it HBO Max anymore. Now it's just Max
It's
because
kind of
they,
like Twitter and X, you know what I mean?
yeah, I get it though, because HBO is a very specific high-end, premium brand, has been for decades. And so when they merged with Discovery, or when Discovery content got brought over, you got Fixer Upper, and to have Fixer Upper share that HBO brand, marquee brand, it just didn't fit, right? So they changed it to just Max. I get it. And still, it's a big deal because it has a lot of content. Like, it once they brought over all the Discovery stuff, it sort of, in my eyes, went right up there with a Disney Plus, because it has content from all, multiple creative brands. So Disney would be
There a
so.
lot of IPs, a lot of
Thank you. That's the word.
also, you know. No, I'm with you. It's huge. I mean, people love it. Movies, they're very quick to get things when their theatrical release is done, sometimes simultaneously on some big ones. That's huge. I mean, don't get me started on original stuff. Game of Thrones, Sopranos. I love The Last of Us. The Last of Us, I watched through Max, not on HBO. I know it's the same, but you get my drift. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they still have the rights to Friends, which is obviously huge to a ton of people. They're a huge streamer. If Netflix is, the king, that's one of the big. That's one of the people at the court, is HBO Max, right up there with Hulu and Disney. So yeah, I'm just really. I think to be there is huge. I want to talk about some of the particulars. They do have their deal with TNT Sports. and which has the rights to NBA basketball, specifically NBA on TNT. If you're not a basketball person, ask a basketball person what's the best broadcast of basketball. Just about everybody will tell you any day of the week, TNT.
Yeah.
The very like multiple Emmy winning Charles Barkley, Shaquille,
Oh
and
man,
Kenny
that's
Smith.
yeah.
People who don't watch
Hilarious.
basketball will tell you they love watching them talk about it. People will
Yep.
tell you I don't watch the game, but I watch them.
Yep.
And they've leaned into it. The deal with Max, they had a simulcast with Barkley doing commentary of the All-Star game, I know. So my point is they are really leaning into the live sports business too. And I think to have the Bellator brand, I want to acknowledge they arguably have not been hotter since now they essentially ran the table with PFL last month. I think that that's a huge, huge thing you've got to acknowledge. As a brand, it's really hot right now, even though it's everything about it is so weird. Like they're not using the old graphics, they're using the PFL graphics.
Yeah.
Their fight card, their website. It's just like, you know how that joke on memes, they're like, hey, can I copy your homework? And they're like, yeah, just make it look different so it doesn't look like you copied. Same thing going on. You look at the
Yep.
Bellator website, you look at the PFL website. Tell me it isn't the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point though is that like as a brand, not with ESPN, and not essentially not just like, oh, this is the PFL Bellator. It's like, no, it's different. It's a different brand. It's got its own broadcast. But to me, Natalie, you got them on a huge streamer. And I'll say this right now. Bellator on Max is bigger than ONE Championship on Amazon. Straight up.
Yes, straight up, yeah.
Easily. I don't know how many years. I know at least this year, and maybe they're still figuring it out, but for sure, not only are all, I believe they said 8 events for the Champion Series are going to be on Max, they're also going to do supplemental programming. So on your regular cable, True TV. We've had this talk. I have cable. I have True TV. I love the idea of just the price of cable getting Bellator again, not behind a paywall.
Yeah.
The Bellator library will be added to Max. I think that is huge for a ton of people. I think it's more accessible than DAZN. I'm glad that they didn't
It
re-explore
is,
that.
yeah.
DAZN already has PFL Europe. I mean, my only thing about it is that now you have to deliver across these 8 events, and we'll see where we are at the end of the year. I think if they keep building, you have a talk about, what brand name is bigger. I know they're all owned by the same people now, but you could put one logo on the front. Is it Bellator or is it PFL? I think that's a talk you may have to have, right?
Yeah.
I think that that's just it. Once again, our guys, their guys, they're all his guys. Don Davis, Pete Murray, my guys, your guys, they're all my guys now. We all make the profit. It's like, oh, what's better? Cheetos, Doritos. Ladies and gentlemen, Frito-Lay collects the check on both. So I think we could
That's
see
true.
you I think we could see a little bit of this going on, Natalie. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, it is interesting, like the keeping the brands separate but not separate, and then doing these deals. Was what do you think? There was no interest from ESPN to have Bellator, or maybe PFL didn't want to bring Bellator into ESPN, or maybe UFC was like, no, you can't do it. I mean, I just wonder what why that didn't happen.
I think there is something to be said for too many brands. Because I think that by and large, had they brought in Bellator and called it Bellator anything, not PFL something, ESPN would have just been like, it's like, there's only so much NFL, there's only so much soccer.
Yeah.
And maybe those are bigger brands, but they're just like, we just can't justify the investment in another MMA brand with our budget.
Makes sense.
It's not NFL football, it's not Champions League soccer. It's just not. And we already have the two biggest brands in the United States. We just can't justify a third that, respectfully, the events are going to air on odd times in Europe for the majority. I think there's only, out of those eight, one in Chicago, one in San Diego. The rest are overseas or in another hemisphere. So I think that that's very fair on ESPN's part. In terms of the whole branding, I mean, the rosters and everything has kind of been put out there. A ton of Bellator talent is getting into the PFL regular season to the point that I'm like, well, if guys get eliminated from the regular season, are they going to be back in PFL or sorry, back in Bellator? I don't know. Like, let's say, okay, season opener is in April, in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. If you lose that first one and you lose the second one, no chance of getting in on points. Are you going to be like, well, let me go fight back in Belfast later this year? If
I
you were a
wonder.
if you used to be a Bellator person, or maybe even the PFL people. I don't know. And maybe that's to be determined. Maybe they're still being fluid with it, but on paper, I'm like, okay, if we're just playing fast and loose with the rules, the whole point is just to put on events, so I don't know. I think I gotta wait and see where I'm at by the time this rolls around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is a good question. Is there any I'm thinking of Scott Coker and Bellator in the old days. He was
Yeah.
always available to talk, right? Before, during a media week, after a fight. Is that seeming to be the case? It's very early, but Don Davis on events, do you know? Have you heard?
First
Is he
event, I mean, here's the thing. They have an event in 2 weeks in San Antonio. I'm sure we're gonna get a whole thing about that. But right now he hasn't done it. And he probably will do it before the regular season, just to, drum up the interest. So, wait and see. But right now, I'll tell you right now, you know how I feel about the streaming wars. I have Max.
I know. It's
I'm
like, hey,
happy.
it's one we already have.
I'm
Yes.
happy. You know what I mean? I'm gonna just leave it at that. I'm happy.
I'm happy too.
Let's talk about some stuff going on. Bellator 3. Sorry, no. Look, see, I'm already excited. UFC 301 in Rio this May, and it was announced Alexandre Pantoja. I love saying his name. Taking on Steve Ercik, who just fought 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago on the Jairzinho Gaziev card. Stepping in, this is expected to be the main event. And we'll talk about more than likely the co-main in a second. Look, Ercik, I believe he's had two fights in the octagon. I can't say that he was the most hyped up guy. That being said, he's on a good win streak. He is on a roll. Taking on Alexandre Pantoja, though. What are your thoughts on this one?
It's the division is back to this place where, it's I guess this calm. It happens to every division, but it's like everybody at the tippy top already fought each other, and then this division's case, it's like three times, maybe sometimes four. So you gotta dig a little deeper to find the next opponent. I'm okay with this one, but I think Ursing's ranked 10th. That's pretty rare to have a number 10 guy fighting for the belt unless he's hyped up so much that people want to see it or he's talked his way into it, which is not the case with Ursing. So it's kind of just like, well, he's good. He had a good last fight. He's available. Let's go. That's sort of what it seems like to me.
So, Manel Kopp misses weight on the last one, been beat by Pantoja. Brandon Moreno lost to Royval, 0-3 against Pantoja. Brandon Royval beat Moreno, but he recently fought Pantoja, and he is 0-2 against Pantoja. Process of elimination made this very hard. The only guy who's beaten Pantoja is Davison, who's now happily a bantamweight. By that logic, it always had to go to a guy like Ercik. Now, the one that I found almost shocking, everyone probably put more hype on Muhammad Mukhaev, who picked up his victory. And I will say this, maybe even controversially, in the moment, I actually had it the other way. I'm just leave it at that. But Makhachev got his win. He's got all this, he's got everything. He's from Europe, but his family's from Dagestan, and he shares a lot of that, background. It just kind of felt like, oh, this perfect. We're trending that way. Usyk is doing great. I don't know, respectfully, do you remember when Zhang Weili got her title shot?
Yes, the first one?
Yes,
Yes,
against
yes,
Andrade.
yes.
And it kind of felt like, well, she got it because they were going to China, but
Right,
everyone was
of course.
like, it's going to be Tatiana Suarez. It's going to be Karate Hottie Michelle Waterson. And then it's like, Jessica Andrade versus Zhang Weili in a fight night. It's like, wait, what? It
But
worked
then
out. Hey, it
it worked
worked
out.
out great, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mind you, just respectfully, Zhang Weili hadn't taken on one of the top girls before she proved she was actually a top girl too. This kind of feels like the same thing. I mean, we're in a process of elimination, and they ended up with Usyk. I think that now it's a very hit or miss. Here's my thing about it. We know there's Jose Aldo and Jonathan Martinez. If Pantoja wins, it's gonna make people feel silly because it's like, well, why did I get invested? I mean, who was the other guy? I mean, did
Yeah.
you know him? Did I? There's a bit of that element. Usyk wins, and it's like, wait, out of nowhere and all that, and it can become a cool thing, but I acknowledge it's like, I don't know that a ton of people are going to tune in to watch what could be a very epic upset. What about you?
Well, yes, that's it. Is that nobody's gonna know who he is, most likely. And so now it's like, do I want to pay for this after I just paid for, 300? For whoever actually pays for it. And but sometimes the pay-per-views are this. They're not every main event in a pay-per-view isn't like, oh man, I can't believe it. Sometimes you just got to go down the line. And even though Erste is number 10, it, as you say, it kind of makes sense. He's sort of in the next in line-ish category, so I'm okay with it. But yeah, I don't think this is going to be a eyeballs from, like, not the arena in Brazil. It's not going to be anyone getting, too excited about it. But it being there is going to, obviously, I'm sure it's going to be a sellout.
Yeah, I think the brand itself carries a lot. That being, I mean, the undercard isn't even that bad, but it's kind of like that Thanksgiving turkey. It all comes together around a good main event. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
yeah.
Look, how did we get here? They needed a 300 main event. Had any other fight kind of been put together, it would be Pereira Hill in Brazil. It's not. This is where we are. Going into this co-main event, the announcement, Jose Aldo coming out of retirement to take on Jonathan Martinez. Jose Aldo, you know who he is, 2022, lost to Merab. I think that was like the second to last fight on his deal. Still had one more, chose to retire, boxed a few times, went into the Hall of Fame last year. Once again, hasn't fought since 2022. Arguably your favorite fighter's favorite fighter. Just so a absolutely talented and amazing living legend. Jonathan Martinez on a great win streak. I think the thing about this one, and I'd heard other names being rumored out there, it's not bad. It's just, how do I put this? I'd made peace with the fact that Aldo retired, Natalie. I just, I w okay, like Habib, there's one more out there for him. There's this, there's that. This one, it's like, I guess objectively, Aldo, are you now trying to make a run? Like, up the ladder? Like, respectfully, I mean, he beats Jonathan. He's not right up there. There's Merab. There's Corey Sandhagen. Umar Nurmagomedov, you could argue, ahead at the moment. It's just really, to me, I don't know how to feel about it, and I don't know if it's, One last hurrah, go out on top with the people. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think it's that. I'm gonna hope they offered him money, extra money than what whatever was the original fee for his last fight, and probably sold it like, hey, you get to fight in Brazil. It's your last fight. We're gonna sweeten the deal. Like it's you're fresh, you've been resting. It's got to be that. And from the UFC's perspective, like, they're pretty clever and creative. And maybe they realize that, Pantoja, even though he's Brazilian, isn't gonna give us, the what do you call it? The ticket count. I can't remember what it's called. My brain is really going on blank. He's not gonna
The live gate.
live gate. Thank you.
Yeah.
He's not gonna give us the numbers, live gate numbers that we want. Maybe guaranteed to get those if you tell everybody in Brazil Jose Aldo's back for one last hurrah. So, and also, what I said about Pantoja as far as the world watching on TV from home, not that interesting. It is interesting to see Jose Aldo, but on the flip side, knowing him and loving him as we all do, I agree with you. Like, we already said goodbye. It made sense. He's in the Hall of Fame. We only want to see him. We only want to see, like, we don't want anything bad to happen to him, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And so what you don't want is to see him get beat up. And we don't know what is going to happen, how competitive this fight will be. Jose Aldo, of course, is still awesome. But you don't want him to come back for one last one and it not at least be even, an even fight.
Yeah, I think that look, Jonathan has a chance to play spoiler, if I'm not mistaken. Is this a look, it's got to be the co-main. Jonathan on a 6-fight win streak. Really, I think. I mean, what else can I say? This is all about Jose Aldo. It begins and ends with Jose Aldo winning or losing in front of the people.
Right.
I don't know if it's about a contract thing. I'm gonna put that out into the ether that, is this a sign of Jose Aldo wanting other things outside of the UFC? Maybe. I'm not sure. If it is about one more night with the fans, I hope it's amazing, but this is a dangerous fight. Jonathan Martinez, put it this way, I can imagine a contender like him dreaming of getting a call like, "Hey, bro, you want to make your name against Aldo?" It's like, psh, why
Yeah,
not?
why not? Yeah.
Yeah, so.
In his own home country, why not? Yeah.
Oh yeah, just line it all up for him. Let's do it. So yeah, but objectively, that's a great pairing of fights. It's not a bad one. Like you said, it's coming off a 300, 85 bucks. I think that's I'm looking at the card. Paul Craig against Caio Barbalho, who's on a great run himself. Anthony Smith. Michel Pereira, it's like it's not a bad card. Elvis Brenner on the prelims. It's not a bad card. It's just I get it. It doesn't feel like the fights are necessarily as relevant to their divisions. I don't know that Caio Barbalho gets a title eliminator off of a Paul Craig. Same for Anthony Smith. Same for Michel Pereira, even though he just showed off some great dancing. You know what I mean? And I think that's just my one thing about 301. It just doesn't feel like those fights have as much at stake at this time. That could change in 2 months, but.
They don't, but yeah, you're right. You're right. Right now it's like, yeah, but things move fast and surprises are always just around the corner in MMA. So we'll see.
I mean, look, we'll keep going from there. We'll keep an eye on 301. Let's talk about some other news. Chris Curtis replacing Marvin Vettori against Brendan Allen. UFC main event, essentially on a month's notice for Curtis. It was announced on Friday. He got back in the win column in January when he defeated Marc-Andre Barrio. Allen, he's like that dark horse of the middleweight division. 6-fight win streak, 4 straight stoppages, stopped the recently aforementioned Paul Craig. Not for nothing, Dana White even said, Brendan, you can even get your nice purple shorts. Like, just like Sean O'Malley. What about
Yeah,
you?
I mean it's fine. What happened to Marvin Vettori? Do we know?
I think just injured.
Okay. Yeah, I mean this is a good fight. It's a good fight. I ain't got no issues with it. And yeah, man, that's it.
I mean, Chris Curtis, to me, he's one of the most interesting guys because I just distinctly remember covering his fights, and he had these losses, and I think he's the one in PFL, like, he lost and said he was retiring after losing on Contender Series. Then he goes to PFL and he's like, if I lose, I retire, and he lost and he retired. But then it was on one of those where they had multiple fights in the same night for the people.
Yeah.
And then it's like the other guy's opponent fell out, so they're like, well, Chris Curtis, do you want to fight him? And he's like, I guess I'm unretiring. And then he lost, and I feel like he re-retired, and I'm like, bro. And here's the thing. This is why retirements, it's like, it's not really a thing.
It's not really a
Freaking,
thing, I know.
like, what's his name? Douglas Lima's brother, Diego Lima. The guy was signed for a fight. 3 weeks later said, you know what, I'm just not feeling it anymore, I'm gonna retire. And that was it. He stayed retired.
Thanks for the cheese.
Chris Curtis has retired like four times and he's fighting the best MMA of his career. It's just not a thing.
It must be like the maybe he doesn't know what retire means.
Oh, you're cruel. I mean, look, I'm here for it because I like watching him, but I
Must be
acknowledge
like a
this.
mind thing, you know, where you're just like, I'm not feeling it. Just call it a day, and then it's sooner than you expected. You get the itch. I don't know, but yeah, it's kind of strange to be doing it. You know, and in the old days, you retired and that was it. You're done. Now it's like, how many times can you retire?
I mean, Chris hasn't done it in a while. So I want to say that. He hasn't retired in a minute, so
There
I'm
you
going to
go.
give him that one.
Okay.
But yeah, look, I like watching him. He's a fun guy, very technical dude. You got to be good if you're going to be Sean Strickland's best friend, I feel like. I want to make sure we're not missing anything, but I think it's time pretty much for. You know what? I like this one. I really love talking about this one, Natalie. I'm going to just say it like that. Last week, Mark Coleman, UFC Hall of Famer, Godfather Ground and Pound, a champion of the days in the early double digits, not to UFC 50 yet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
His house caught fire that he lived in with his parents, or who lived with him, I think, to explain it a little more specifically. His dog woke him up. He goes inside, he gets both his mother and father out. Goes back, tried to save his dog, ultimately couldn't, sadly. Collapses, rushed to the hospital for severe smoke inhalation. He's in the ICU. They get as much soot possible out of his lungs. And there's a video of him awake and just grateful to save his parents and his life. I was like, wow. Touch and go. He's not out of the woods, but I saw that and I'm like, you know what, man? Sometimes good things just happen when maybe they shouldn't happen. And, the fact that he survived and looks like he may be able to get on the road to recovery is just like, wow. What were your thoughts when you heard this one?
Yeah, man, that's some heroic stuff right there. And you always wonder what you're gonna do if you can stay calm enough and be strong enough to do these kinds of things to save your family. And he did it. And also, you know, I'm glad he was able to save his parents. And the dog that woke him up, man, saved, you know, contributed to saving everybody. And he gave his little dog life for that. And that sucks, man. But, you know, Mark Coleman did a heroic thing. Like, I can't even imagine how you feel after that, being in that situation, having to, I mean, he's a big, strong man. I'm sure he's not without his physical ailments, having had the career that he had.
And
And those
pushing
moments,
60, mind you, I believe.
exactly, and those moments, adrenaline and all that, but having to, I don't know if you ever try to pick up a person, you're, you know, an adult. It's
Forget
freaking,
about it.
yeah. I mean, and so you need adrenaline, and you know, he's so this is amazing that he was able to do get both of them out, stay conscious enough to do it, and still try to get the dog that, you know, woke him up and saved his life. Couldn't do it, but that's, you know, that's just what it is. But yeah, man, it's a great story, and I hope he recovers completely. It's, you know, it sounds like he was in pretty serious trouble there.
You know, it's crazy. Matt Brown posted a video of Mark Coleman not training, but he went by the gym to say hi to the people. And it's like, dude, you know, you just can't keep some people down.
No, you can't, man. You can't. And that's just in you. You have that in you, that fight. Even when you're done, and you know, whether you're a fighter or not, but specifically for him, not fighting in a cage anymore, but you still have that fight in you for everything. You attack life. That's very inspiring.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just happy for him. What else can I say? I thought it was just awesome. But yeah. Just beautiful. Best wishes, Mr. Coleman. I hope you continue to feel better. Which brings us to our UFC main event this Saturday, UFC Vegas 89, Rose Namajunas taking on Amanda Ribas. I think the biggest one, I've heard a lot of the interviews from Rose, mostly with Ariel Helwani. I don't actually know that she's done other ones, at least none that I watched a video. And talked about it, said she felt great at flyweight, obviously hurt her hand against Manon Fiore in Paris, as you remember, but had said after losing the belt to Carla Esparza, thought about retirement and thought about these other things, right? And it's just like, okay. We know that Rose wears her heart on her sleeve, and she's talked about, you know, personality-wise, a lot of the stuff that comes with being a champion, you know. So, look, it would be difficult for a lot of normal people to navigate. She's open enough to say that, you know, it was tough for her to navigate at a time. I don't know that this lends itself to thinking she's about to make a run at flyweight. What I acknowledge now is that when you consider who Manon is and then Amanda Ribas, this stylistically feels like the kind of fight set up to push Rose one more time. Amanda is great, but you know, I wouldn't say she's one of the top contenders at 115 or 125 right now. And so it does feel like, okay, you know, fan favorites, Rose Namajunas main event, big opportunity, and see where we go from there. Amanda Ribas, look, I mean, I believe, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on it, but her last fight, freaking spinning wheel kick, you know, rallied back, got the finish. Just tough as nails, girl. Big personality, but bigger heart inside the cage. Great grappling. Poses plenty of problems to push a Rose Namajunas, and I think that's probably going to be the biggest thing. On paper, you feel like Rose should have all of the capabilities to beat someone like an Amanda Ribas. It's about the intangibles now. If she, for whatever reason, can't perform at that level, this opens the door for someone with the physicality of Amanda. If it gets into a tough fight, you know, find yourself on the mat, really dealing with the judo of Ribas. That becomes a factor. And so I do think that that's the story of the fight, is that Rose is obviously so great, but if she is not quite up to that level for whatever reason, that opens the door for a tough girl like Amanda Ribas. And look, a lot of fans between the both of them makes for a good fight.
Yeah, man, this is a great matchup. You know, they're gonna go in there and fight. And they're very well rounded. The striking, they both have elite, entertaining striking styles. Creative, they're both tough, they're game. We've already seen, like, Rose has already done it all in strawweight. Like, I think it's safe to say she's gonna be in the Hall of Fame if she, whether she, you know, gets to the title shot here in the strawweight division or not, like regardless of this second act. And so it's a ballsy move for her to try this. And I was watching an ESPN special that they did between the two of them. And, you know, Pat Barry saying, like, she just wanted a challenge. She'd already fought everybody in strawweight, you know, multiple times. And we see that with the men at 125. And wanted a challenge. And that's pretty impressive. Like, you could just say, done it all, won the belt, lost it, won it back. Had some killer knockouts. Like, that doesn't happen with women that often. Done these amazing things, had these great moments. So I'm totally here for this second run of Rose Namajunas at 125. Kibas is no joke, but yeah, as you said, it's not like the big imposing Man and Fiora. That was a tough fight for Rose to debut at 125 with. She's probably got a little more comfort under her belt now, having had that first experience. But I think they're going to get after it. I think it's going to be a great fight. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not counting Kibas out by any means, but I think Namajunas has too much to lose to let this one go. So I think she's going to just be a dog, get her down, choke her out. I'm going to say round 3 submission, Rose Namajunas for the win.
Round 3 submission for the win.
Yep. Rear naked choke is my guess.
I'm going to go second round, Amanda Kibas.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I like it.
Just feeling it today.
You're feeling it. You're feeling it.
Yeah. You know what? As you break it down, you talk about it. I just find this wild. You know, Zhang Weili is one of those your favorite fighter's favorite fighter. I hear so many people praise Zhang Weili athletically, technically, all this as a champion. And it just, I am actually a little surprised that more people don't bring up the narrative of a third fight with Weili and Rose. Does that ever surprise you?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Why? Actually. I guess I don't think I need to see it. I never felt like it. I just felt like it was, I never wanted to see it, but it would be entertaining, of course.
I guess to me, and I get that, because I also feel like I've already seen the best of them twice.
Right.
And I say we got the same result. I don't need the third one. Right. Why is that different from, like, and I'll say it, maybe we didn't need the third Max and Volk fight in hindsight, but we got it anyway. I'm shocked, though, because I don't know that we've had a situation ever like this where you have this dominant champion who's been beaten twice by the same person and then gets the belt back and is just still dominating again, and we just don't talk about it because it's like, and maybe that's, you know, we can't just have Rose and Weili fight indefinitely. But at the same time, I'm like, if I were Rose, I feel like many other contenders would have been like, well, you want this smoke or not? You want it back or not? And I think the fact that we don't have any of that narrative is really a little mind-boggling. Because it's so counterintuitive to what we've been conditioned to expect from contenders. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
And maybe that's a testament to, like you said, you know, doesn't need it, doesn't have anything to prove by doing it. Okay, you're not wrong, I think. But, man, it's like, it's right there. Talk a little trash, they'll give it to you, honestly. You beat her twice. Both ways, decision to the wire and in the first round. How much more comprehensive of a way do you need it? So, I don't know.
Okay.
That's just me.
Alright.
What else? The Bellator Champion Series. Corey Anderson taking on Carl Moore. Patricio Pitbull taking on Jeremy Kennedy, who finally gets the title shot. Just any general thoughts on all that for the new, you know, quote, the new Bellator that we've really been hyped up about recently?
You know, just excited to keep seeing them build this out. That's it.
You
It's
know,
fun. It's fun.
I'm gonna just say it. I'm excited to watch it on Max on Friday.
Well, yeah, it's gonna be fun. Yeah.
It's gonna be so convenient.
So convenient. Yep.
There we go. So, yeah, look, obviously keeps it rolling. Next week, Atlantic City, Erin Blanchfield taking on Manon Fiore. All intents and purposes, this sets up the next contender for Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko.
Yeah.
You could argue that one of them deserved it first already. The fact that they're fighting, okay. Erin, obviously, from that New Jersey area, fighting at home, think it's a big fight. I think my biggest thing I hope for them, I don't know how you make these pieces fit. I just would hate for one of those women to have a great performance and then they're on ice. So I don't know how they're gonna do it, but I just hope that they don't have to wait too long for a title shot that they've earned since last year. I'll leave it at that. And it's a good fight. I think it'll be a good one. Well, who wins, who loses, all that good stuff, we'll get into it next week. Until then, guys, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Until then, have a good one.